All right, welcome to what's now the fourth podcast of the week. It's been a busy week. Thanks for following along. It's Eric Chase, Thursday, October 18th, about 6 o'clock or so. Two guests in the studio tonight to talk about something that you're going to need to know for when you go for Election Day, which is approaching quickly. Let me first introduce my friend Crystal from NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Eric. Hello, Toledo.
You say that so derisively. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Scott, what's your last name?
Sylak.
Sylak. Where have you been before? I think you were over when we were doing the old show in the other building.
Probably the old show, but...
Do you remember what you were there to talk about?
Well, we've done a number of different things. Probably rolled out a couple of special programs for substance use or mental illness. Probably talked about heroin or opiates, something like that.
Yeah, it's all on the tip of our tongues. I asked Crystal beforehand if we wanted to dive into issue one at all. You have any knowledge or thoughts on that? Because we can get to that a little bit as well.
Well, I have a little thought on that, but I would also have to premise that with the board, the Mental Health Recovery Services Board, which I represent, has not taken an official position.
Fair enough.
But I'd be happy to give you my personal take.
Okay, we can end with that, because I'm getting up to speed with that. But I asked Crystal to stop by today and to snag you as well for issue 11, which there are black and yellow signs all over the place. And I know nothing about it. All I know is that Crystal tells me that she needs some help with this, and it's important to NAMI. So, Scott, you want to start first? What do I need to know about issue 11?
Well, if it's important to NAMI, it's important to me.
Myself as well.
Yeah. Issue 11 is for Mental Health and Recovery Services. It's the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board renewal levy. So it's important to note that it is not a new tax. It is a renewal. Right. It generates $7.1 million for the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board to allocate out to our provider organizations. It is actually one of three levies that we have, only one of which is on the November 6th ballot. The $7.1 million is equitable to 28% of all of our operating capital for the year. So it's a substantial amount of money. It's also important to note that while the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board collects or receives those funds from the County Auditor's Office, 93 cents of every dollar that we collect goes out to agencies like NAMI or some of the other mental health treatment agencies that most folks are familiar with, so that they can provide services to uninsured, underinsured, and general public who need services such as Crystal's, like mental health navigation.
Mm-hmm. What happens if by some chance that this doesn't go through? I mean, 28% is a giant chunk of a budget.
Well, we're very hopeful that it will be passed. Okay. You know, the citizens of Lucas County have been very generous and usually are very supportive of social service levies when they believe that the entities that are receiving those levies are acting responsibly, in which we believe we are. We have priorities. Our first priority is to save lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, emergency services, treatment services, housing services, those are our priorities. And, you know, not to discount some of the other services that we have, but when, you know, push comes to shove, and, you know, just like anybody else with their personal wallets, they have to sometimes make priorities, and we would do the same.
Yeah. Crystal, how do you come in all of this?
Well, as Scott said, I am the family navigator for NAMI Greater Toledo, and I am the one that really, I talk to those families. I know what families are going through in those crisis situations. And when they call me, they really need to know how to access those services. And they're also really looking for support to know that they are not alone in their journey and in their fight with their loved ones.
I can only imagine some of the panicked calls that you get.
Yes, yes.
I don't want to add, well, you can give me an example, because when people come to me with questions, they're usually somewhat even keeled and balanced. But when they reach out on the other end of the phone to you, they don't know who they're talking to. So you've got to, I guess, calm them down and then get them set in the right direction and involve them in the programs that can help them and their family.
Well, what I try to do is I listen to their story and make them feel heard, and hopefully give them support through the resources that I can offer them.
Yeah, NAMI's always like on the tip of my tongue when I'm sharing resources for people to go to. If nothing more than it's a gateway to find knowledge and education to then spit you out into the right direction, which can help you most.
Absolutely. And our mission is to educate, support, and navigate. So we do that in a variety of ways. We go out into the community and we're always presenting mental health awareness. You know, knowledge is power. And if we can get people to not only understand the signs and symptoms, but how to ask text treatment and really how to use their voice to communicate what they're going through, and then that will in turn get their loved ones to support them and help them.
Scott, with the Lucas County Mental Health Services Board, I guess I'm connected in some way because I'm on the board of the Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition.
Yes, you are.
So what are some of the other things besides that, which I speak about frequently, how Jen Wakefield and I go out and Bev and the presentations that we do to schools and whatnot. What else does the Mental Health Services Board work on? Some of those programs that you mentioned or taking the community?
Let me first start out by saying congratulations to you for stepping up and serving your community in that way.
No need.
You know, the research or the statistics around suicide locally now from 2015 to 2017 would suggest a 24% increase in the number of deaths by suicide. So the Mental Health Recovery Services Board is very engaged in discussions about what we need to do next in relation to suicide prevention. And of course, we just recently provided additional funds to the Suicide Coalition. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not.
Okay. So besides that, though, we are heavily invested in emergency services care for anybody in the community, regardless of their income, that requires that is having a psychiatric issue that may require intervention. So we actually have individuals for adults and juveniles that can go out into the community and help de-escalate and, if necessary, facilitate a process where somebody can get hospitalization. And that is, like I said, open to any Lucas County resident and actually anybody in Lucas County,
right,
not just a resident. Besides treatment services that we have for alcohol and drug and mental health, we also fund some gambling treatment services, which is under our auspices. We have 400 units of housing for the severe and persistently mentally ill, those most ill in our community. But for this housing, it's very likely that those individuals would likely be on the street or in one of our emergency shelters.
Yeah.
And, you know, so in addition to that, you know, emergency shelter, we actually fund St. Paul's Emergency Shelter.
I'm familiar with it.
And we fund their winter crisis program so that when it gets really cold out and people need a place to go to warm up and stay, you know, build capacity so they can serve another 30 people per night, we fund that. We fund recovery housing for people who are in early stages of recovery, that once they complete a residential service, they can go into a stable housing environment to build the tools necessary for long-term recovery. Peer support services, individuals with lived experience, substance use, and mental illness that want to give back to their communities, that want to work within the system, that want to help individuals navigate the system, or just help provide support. We educate them, we train them, we actually employ them. So there's quite a bit of work that's being done.
This is where that money goes. This is where, when you check that box or however you go about voting, where issue 11 takes care of all this stuff.
That is correct.
You mentioned the emergency services. I know when Jen and I go out and do presentations, we always hit the crisis text line pretty heavily, 741-741. Mm-hmm. If someone just heard you say what you did and they're in a crisis, a lot of times you don't have time to go Google something, but what is something that they can immediately access? Maybe something they might want to save in their phone.
The recovery helpline at 255-3125. So 419-255-3125. And of course, if you do the recovery or the crisis text line as well, eventually you will get rerouted back to the rescue, which also hosts our national suicide hotline.
Great, great. Yeah, and we all became very familiar with that last summer with the song that was such a big hit. So, yeah, I know all too well from the presentations that suicide numbers here and all over this country are going up. And one thing, you struck a chord whenever Jen and I do our presentations, we always talk about how there might even be more. We don't know because of overdoses, because no one's around to tell us. And a lot of times when it comes to teens, parents can keep that part out of the cause of death. So it's probably even a little higher than that, and it's a number that we want to work to bring down, and you know, issue 11 can help with that.
Absolutely. You know, it's, they say that for every death by suicide, there was very likely 25 others that we might not know about. Mm-hmm. And that's an alarming statistic, and
yeah.
one that we want to make sure we do not ignore.
Yeah. Nationally, in our presentations, the great number, impactful number is we all hear about murder and shooting across the country, and it leads newscasts, and we see these stories and they get shared everywhere. And then the suicide numbers are probably double the homicide numbers for a variety of reasons, but most of them tying back to mental health. So
I would say that that's very true locally as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Crystal, final thoughts as we wrap up.
NAMI is a huge advocacy organization, and the best way that you can advocate not only for yourself but your community is to get out and vote.
Yeah, and the classes and whatnot, I've been to some of them before. They're all free resources that people can come, and it's a great place at NAMI to stick your toe in the water. I mean, it's hard enough to get people to talk about this, to want to help themselves or their loved ones. People are afraid to make that phone call to go to a doctor in a facility like that. You guys are located right on Central. Pop in for one of the art classes, one of the support groups, and it's not nearly as intimidating as what you might think some of the other places are, and it's certainly not an intimidating place at all.
Absolutely not. You will find someone whose story you can relate to, and it is a supportive and safe place to come and share not only your own story, but some experiences.
Scott, can you tell me about issue one? I'm getting up to speed on this, and I see both sides argue. I see both arguments quite well. Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
So issue one is a constitutional amendment brought by the citizens of Ohio that is attempting to reduce the number of nonviolent felony offenders who may enter the state prison system because of a substance use disorder, so drug-related charges. It while I'm not as up to date on all the fine principles of it, mm-hmm. There is also a element of allowing for the earning of good days up to a half a day for every day you're in a program, up to 25% of your sentence.
Right.
There is estimates of somewhere around 10,000 individuals being impacted. If passed, it would also be retroactive to there's a date in, you know, I'm not sure.
So some people might be released.
Some people could very well be released.
And these are the nonviolent people. And the example that I used, or I brought up to Crystal beforehand, was the money line here is the fentanyl, that people can be caught with fentanyl, and a very small amount can kill a lot of people. And I guess the gray area for me is, while that one person might have that deadly amount, it could be a serious addiction and mental health issue. And then that same person could also be someone who's just trying to make money and doesn't care if anybody dies. This is a tough thing to figure out.
I absolutely. You know, the fentanyl statement has been made. 20 grams of fentanyl can kill nearly 10,000 individuals.
It's a neighborhood.
And I'm right. Absolutely. However, what I'm not quite sure of, and what I'd love to see, is more data around the individuals and the number of people that are currently in prison for holding 20 grams of fentanyl.
Right.
You know, I think it's important that we remove the political rhetoric and the what ifs from what the law actually says.
Yeah.
And I think most people are under the under the belief that we don't like the constitutional amendment side of this. You know, we would rather have a legislative process that does this for us. And there's a lot of people that are against it simply because it's a constitutional amendment.
Right.
And I don't disagree that there are issues related to the amendment itself and in changing it and the way it was written and all that stuff. That's fine. But me personally, I have some concerns because what we're not talking about is the people that's impacted. We're talking about systems and courts and, you know, the Department of Rehab and Corrections and other things, but we're not talking about the generations of families that have been incarcerated due to their drug addictions and the impact that that's had long term on those neighborhoods and communities. And that's where I start to turn, I guess,
yeah.
is that if we boil it down to the individualized basis for that person, I'm more in favor than not.
Yeah, I lean that way as well. And I'm still doing my homework on it. It's a difficult issue for what you brought about with the constitutional amendment, and just that it should be more fluid. Like, this law seems so concrete. You brought up the good point of who's walking around with 20 grams of fentanyl. Okay, that's clearly a felonious problem. Like, there's some things going on there. But someone who has a lot less than that because they have a severe drug addiction, I mean, clearly that's a mental health issue. You're going to go lock them up, and they're definitely not going to get the help they need. They're probably going to come out a lot worse when they're done. And the other thing that I seem to see opponents of this forgetting about is that's still the more people that are incarcerated, we're still paying for them, if I'm not mistaken. That's our tax money.
You absolutely are still paying for them. And, you know, the balance for me is I'm a treatment person. I'm a licensed independent chemical dependency counselor. I run the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board. I have a master's in public administration. And I start to look at the damage that is being done to the family unit because of these policies. And it overtakes my disdain for what is a constitutional amendment.
Right. Yeah, that reeks of just common sense. And this is obviously, this is a plague, and it seems like something so black and white shouldn't decide this. So I'm curious to see how this turns. Do you have a gut feeling which way this thing will go?
Well, I'm glad that we live in the society that we do, that we have a free choice and free will to vote where we are, and intelligent people can agree to disagree. So I, you know, at this point in time, I really don't know where it will fall out.
Right.
But I'm sure whatever happens, there will be some actions taken to make sure that either it's implemented correctly, and or if it fails, that we just don't leave this public policy dying on the vine, because action needs to be taken.
Yeah, this is probably a lot like the marijuana issue. It is fluid. It will grow. We will adapt in different ways to hopefully make this as best as we possibly can for everybody. Because, as you said, the families that are broken apart, and I don't think that there's anybody within the sound of this microphone or across this country that doesn't know someone who hasn't been affected by this epidemic.
That's true.
Scott, thanks so much. Crystal, thanks so much for wrangling up, Scott. We are voting for issue 11 for NAMI and the Mental Health Services Board, and so much more. All the things that Scott mentioned they do on, is it November 6th?
It is November 6th.
There we go. Thank you guys for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating, and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.